Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
It's funny what we find is important in life. Misplaced priorities, falling in line with the world, not coming to the understanding of our own sense of what is my Christian walk. We allow other influences to infiltrate us and lead us in ways and places that we know we shouldn't be. But knowing when we rely upon God's word and we rely upon his guidance, he can bring us back. He can bring us back. Let's open our Bibles together to Romans chapter 12. And today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about unwrapping your spiritual gifts. And like I said, we're going to go through Romans this morning, verse after verse. And last week, Pastor talked about how every Christian is part of the body of Christ, both the universal body of Christ and also this local body of Christ. You are a member, a unique, special member of the body. You are very valuable to God, and in order to show how valuable you are, God has given you a special gift. He has given every single one of us a special gift. God designed us and built us and equipped us with a special job within the body of Christ, and that's what makes us valuable. You are not some ordinary run-of-the-mill human being, but you are special and a unique design by God. Now, sometimes people don't think they're very valuable or worth very much. I read recently in the Wall Street Journal that the average savings account for an American is, can anybody even take a stab at it? Actually, a little more, $83.42. $83.42. Well, you can see how you measure up. But before you feel poor, I want you to remember that you are rich in Christ. We are valuable. We have worth and meaning before God. To show how valuable you are, God gifted you. He has given you some spiritual gifts, and that is what we're going to talk about today. Romans 12, 6 through 8 says we have different gifts. Gifts is the word charisma, just like our English word is charisma. Every Christian ought to be charismatic in the true sense of the word, meaning gifted. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern and lead diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now, when it comes to spiritual gifts, this is sort of a wide range of understanding here. Now, many of you in this room right now understand about spiritual gifts. You probably even know what your spiritual gifts are, and maybe you're using them. But for some of us, spiritual gifts is going to be a totally new topic. So for that reason, I'm going to be very basic this morning. So first, you need to know what the definition of a spiritual gift is. Well, let's talk about that. First thing is the description of these seven gifts mentioned in Romans 7. And then in number two, the discovery of your spiritual gifts. And then finally, what are my spiritual gifts and how do I use them? See, the first is a God-given capacity to serve the Lord. Now, I could use the word ability. However, capacity is better because it means you have the potential ability. You have the capacity to do some kind of special service for the Lord. It is a supernatural endowment to do something within the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is the head, and we are all different members of the body. Some of you may be hands, others may be kneecaps, others may be feet and elbows. But you see, every member is different, and that's why we're all important and valuable to God. We have a function in the body of Christ. A hand doesn't fulfill the same function as a kneecap or an elbow or an eye. We must decide what our spiritual gifts are because our spiritual gifts determine what part of the body we are. Now, a spiritual gift is not a natural talent. Some people say, well, I'm not very talented. I can't sing, I can't paint, I can't speak publicly. Those are natural talents. I think Michael Jordan is one of the most naturally talented athletes that maybe played the game of basketball. And I know there's argument to that, because I don't follow basketball as well as some of you. But I grew up watching Michael Jordan. That was a naturally talented athlete. Do you agree? Yeah. Okay, just making sure. All right, all right. Some people don't, so okay. Who's Michael Jordan? I forget, if you're younger than 18, you know, you might not know who that is. But those are natural talents, okay? In the New Testament, there's interesting that of the 18 spiritual gifts that are mentioned, music or singing is not even mentioned as a spiritual gift. Sorry, Dave. Yeah, you know. You may use it through encouragement or mercy or evangelism, but it is not listed as a gift. But sometimes people who have a natural talent do not touch the body of Christ. They don't move spiritually, whereas those who have the gift for mercy or encouragement through music minister to the body of Christ. Now, many of you have heard of the great world-renowned tenor, Luciano Pavarotti. Yep. Now, he could have stood up here a few minutes ago and sang the song that Dave and the choir sang, and it probably would have sounded pretty good. Right? Technically, it would have probably been pretty amazing. Now, I don't know if Pavarotti is a Christian, but if he's not a Christian, his song might entertain us naturally, but it would never move us spiritually. So when you know Pastor Dave in the choir like we know Pastor Dave in the choir, and know that they're a trophy of grace, and when they sing about the love of Jesus Christ that holds them to the cross, that ministers to me. Does that minister to you? Absolutely. They are using a spiritual gift to minister, and that is different from the natural talent. Secondly, no Christian has all the gifts, but every Christian has some of those gifts. That's why in 1 Corinthians 12 it says that the Holy Spirit gives several to each person as he will. Now let me give you an example. Think of this church here as an orchestra. God has given every member of Winton First Baptist Church and every member of the body of Christ a special instrument we are to play in this symphony of ministry. You follow me? All right. One mistake we can make is to try to play the wrong instrument. If we try to play the wrong instrument, we are not going to produce beautiful music. For instance, I cannot play the guitar. If you put me on the worship team, I would not make pretty music. It'd be interesting, it might be funny, it might be entertaining. But that's not my spiritual gift. It is not a natural talent that I have. One source of frustration in the church is that people are trying to do the wrong ministry. Play the wrong instrument, if you will. And that's tragic because you don't know what is even worse than that. And you know what's worse than that? It's having that instrument but refusing to play it. Everybody in this church has been given a special gift that some of us don't even have. And when you mix it in with your personality and your own gifts and abilities, and if you're just sitting there with your instrument refusing to play it, there is part of that symphony that's not going to go well, is it? There's going to be something missing. You need me, and I need you. We all need to be playing together. No person is a one-man band. If one Christian possessed all the spiritual gifts, he wouldn't need anybody else. He or she would be a church all by themselves. You could call it the Chris Cook Baptist Church. Wouldn't go very far, would it? No, it wouldn't. Because I wouldn't need anybody else if I had all the spiritual gifts. So again, I need you, you need me. I don't have all the gifts. I have some. You have some. And when we all work together and utilize and exercise our gifts, that's when beautiful harmony and music occurs. Third thing you need to know, the Holy Spirit's fruit, not gifts, is the best indication of godliness. Some people think, well, that person isn't so gifted, or that person is gifted, so they must be godly. You can't always associate giftedness with godliness. And you may wonder, shouldn't that word or that verb be is, be our? No, because in Galatians 5:22, which mentions the nine fruits of the Spirit, it is listed singular, the carpus, the fruit. One fruit expresses itself in nine different ways. Now, let me just tell you that when you are full of the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, your life will be characterized by these nine personality traits. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faith, self-control. People will look at you and say, I don't just have the fruit of joy, or patience is not one of my fruits. You can't say that. You can't say that. When you are full of Jesus, those personality traits will be exhibited in your life. Not so with the gifts. You may have some of the gifts, but you may not have any other of those gifts. Did you know that sometimes the gifts can be exercised in human strength instead of the Holy Spirit's strength? We see this a lot. We have an individual who has a heart for something, but maybe that's not what they're spiritually gifted with. And so we put them there and we expect them to do great things. But the Holy Spirit is saying, no, we need that person here. That person should be in evangelism. That person should be in music. That person should be with the youth. That person should be with the children. That person should be with men's ministry. Wherever it is God wants to place you, he's going to let you know. It's great to have a passion and it's great to have a heart for things, but why not put that to better use and listen to what God wants you to do with that gift? We all know pastors and teachers who were exercising gifts and seemed to be very effective, but their lives were not godly. In the 1970s, there was a pastor in Waco, Texas, who was ministering to many people and was a blessing to many people. However, he was involved in sinful behavior, and it was discovered, and it led to his resignation. And then, shortly after, he died. Amazingly, he was exercising the gift, but there was no godliness in his life. So I need you to know that giftedness doesn't necessarily equate with godliness. It is the fruit of the Spirit that is more important. So let's get a description of these spiritual gifts. I want us to look at the seven that are mentioned in Romans 12. But remember, everyone who is a child of God or is in the family of God has one or more of these spiritual gifts. There are 18 of them mentioned in three lists, like we told and Pastor mentioned to you last week, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and Romans 12. Many Bible scholars believe that this list in Romans 12, these seven, so to speak, are foundational, and many say that every Christian has at least one of these seven that we're going to talk about. So let's unwrap this gift and talk about each one of these. First is prophecy. Declaring God's truth for response. Notice there's an end to that. It's not just declaring God's truth, but it's for response. There is a purpose behind the preaching of God's word. There is a purpose in which God speaks to us. And you might think the gift of prophecy is predicting the future. That's not what it says in the New Testament. Just as Pastor mentioned a week ago, in the New Testament, it is just what we called inspired preaching. Now, here's a good description. It is proclaiming God's truth for response. Seems simple enough, but in many churches, this isn't happening. We hear preaching, but is it inspired? Is it inspiring you to use your spiritual gifts? Is it inspiring you to get out there to do the work of God? Is it inspiring you to get up out of that pew and to do the work of God? That's what prophecy is. It is the gift of taking the word of God and sharing it in a way with people and motivating them to respond to Jesus Christ. It is not telling the future. Did you know that every church needs someone with the gift of prophecy? That is why it says in 1 Corinthians 12, when Paul is talking about these gifts, he says, earnestly desire the better gifts. Now, the gift he's actually talking about here is the gift of prophecy. If a church body doesn't have someone with the gift of prophecy, that church is not going to be well-balanced or healthy. Some of you have studied 2 Corinthians in Sunday school not too long ago. And I think you studied 2 Corinthians 3:6 that says, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Now think about that. That kind of relates to preaching, doesn't it? There's the word of the letter of the word, just the pure word of God itself. And there is the spirit. That's the energizing part of it. If you have one without the other, you're in trouble. Listen to this. I know some churches that have the word, the letter, but are without the spirit. In other words, they are just cut and dry, dull, dead churches, but they have the word. If you go to a church like that, you will dry up. Then there are other churches that have plenty of spirit, plenty of emotionalism, plenty of frantic activity, but they are not basing it on the word of God. If you have the Spirit without the Word, you won't dry up, you will blow up. But may our church here, guys, always be a church where we have the Word of God, the energy of the Spirit of God, because if you're in a church with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you will grow up. You will grow up. You won't blow up, you won't dry up, you will grow up. Do we see the contrast here a little bit? Word without the Spirit, you dry up. Spirit without the Word, you blow up. Word and the Spirit, you grow up. So that's what the gift is. And a lot of people have the gift of prophecy. If you have it, preach it. If you have it, use it. Second is service. We need to see a need and meet that need. It is the word in the New Testament for deacon. It is seeing a need and meeting it. I have something exciting to share with you this morning. Did you know that many people in this room have the gift of service? Do you know that many of you sitting right there have the gift of service? What that means is that you work over in the preschool department, or you may work in the youth department. You may be one of our volunteer teachers, or you may be the kind of person that you don't think can do much for Christ, but you go change the oil for one of the widows in the church. You are ministering in the body of Christ, and what you are doing is as important as what I am doing right here. You are just as important. Christ and what you are doing is as important as anything that we could do here. This is why we are the body of Christ, not the person in Christ. We are the body of Christ, and we need every working member to be complete. We need every member to have a thriving church. Not just for your own benefit, but for the benefit of others. And more importantly, because it's what God called us to do. Forget what you want to do. God has plans for you. Are you listening? Are you falling in line with what He wants us to do? Are we part of the solution or are we part of the problem? Where do you stand? What is your spiritual gift? Sometimes people who have this wonderful gift of seeing a need and meeting it think, I can't do much for God because I can't speak. And this gift is so vitally important in the church, and I thank God for the thousands of people in the body of Christ who have the gift of service. And if you have this gift, you ought to be exercising it. It's one of the most important gifts to have. You ought to be looking around and finding needs and doing something practical to meet that need. We have lots of needs here, but more importantly, we have lots of needs out there. If we can't handle it here, how are we going to handle it there? We need to be reaching others for Christ. But if we're reaching others for Christ, we need to know who Christ is. We need to know what He does for us. Third, talk about teaching, sharing God's truth that transforms. What is the difference between the gift of preaching or prophecy or the gift of teaching? It is not the difference of content, because the content is both of the Word of God, but preaching is usually intended for a response. It's not for someone to stand up here, throw a couple verses at you, have a little application, and then send you on your way. My job, as it's listed in the packet of what you do, I'm supposed to comfort the afflicted, but I'm also supposed to afflict the comfortable. Chew on that for a second. Comfort the afflicted, but afflict the comfortable. So none of you are safe. Okay? A person may have a talent to teach school or to be a professor in college when they teach. But that is not the same as the spiritual gift of teaching, because when someone has the spiritual gift of teaching, people aren't just informed, they are transformed. That is a wonderful gift, and I thank God for the people in our church who have the gift of teaching, and they are teaching our preschoolers, our children, our youth, and our adults in this church. If you have this gift and you are not exercising it, you need to ask yourself why. And then we're going to get 10 other people to come and bombard you and say, why aren't you teaching? Because it seems like we need to have dynamite in your ears to get you to wake up and figure this out. You need to be teaching if you can teach. And believe me, there is room for you. Just because we have classrooms available to you to go to, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be starting your own class. If you have something to teach that is vital to the body of Christ, you need to do it. Be compelled. Be inspired. Be a working part of the body of Christ. Now, also, it's true we have some places in our church where people are teaching and maybe they don't have the gift of teaching. The reason is somebody who does have the gift is holding back. Let me repeat that. The reason they're there is because some of you are holding back. You have the gift of teaching. But you're not exercising it. And so there we go. We've got a piece, a cog in the wheel, so to speak, that's not working properly because you're sitting back and letting somebody else do it. When you know it should be you. When you know it's you that has been called to fulfill that ministry. It is you that has been called by God to exercise that spiritual gift that He has blessed you with. Anybody squirming yet? I hope so. I am. Even all the responsibilities that I myself might have in this church, I know that I could do more. Does that mean that I am spiritually gifted to do so? I don't know. I take that with God. Or I let you, as the church body, let me know what I'm capable of doing. You are the individuals that help me see my spiritual gifts. Just like I will help you with your spiritual gifts. Even if that means banging on your door 10 o'clock at night. Hey, why aren't you teaching this class? Why aren't you serving in your capacity in this church? Why aren't we constantly becoming more informed about Jesus Christ so that we can take what we know and apply it where we need to apply it? And that's out there. I don't know about you, but I am not satisfied with coming and being fed and then keeping it to myself. It needs to go from here to there. We keep it here, we're only doing half the job. We need to get involved. And every single one of us sitting here can be a part of that. I'm not saying everybody's going to go out and preach the word of God. That may not be you. You may not be spiritually gifted to do so. But there's some of you that are. And you're not doing it. Fourth is encouragement. Motivating others by words or acts. The King James Version says exhortation. You are motivating people to do something. To do what? What are we motivating them to do? We need to motivate people to have courage. When I surrendered to ministry 3 years ago, this was not something I wanted to do. But God had other plans. Was it something that I thought I might have been spiritually gifted to? I didn't know. But you all saw it and you told me, this is what we think God has in store for you. And so I listened. I listened to God. And no, this is not perfect. But it's perfect in the sense that I am following God's will. And if I don't, I know the consequence. But I will tell you, when adhering to God's word, it gives me the comfort and peace that I can do anything in Christ who strengthens me. And so I fall upon that. We need to have courage. And sometimes it is motivating somebody to give up a sinful habit. Maybe it is giving somebody the courage to accomplish something for God that otherwise they wouldn't accomplish without your encouragement. Living proof right here. Maybe it's giving somebody the courage to send out cards and letters, to call somebody. I know every birthday of mine, I'm going to get a card from Judy Cook. I anticipate that card. But that's encouraging. Just the simple thing of putting a piece of paper inside and sending it to somebody. That's encouraging. Some of you in this church have this gift, and there are times when you have said, I really ought to send a card to that person and tell them how much I appreciate them. And then you get busy and you forget about it. My friend, you are quenching the Holy Spirit when you don't follow through with what God has given you. In the early church in the book of Acts, they had a member of the church was so accomplished in this gift that they quit calling him by his real name. His name was Joseph, but they didn't call him Joseph. They called him Barney or Barnabas. And do you know what that means? It means encourager. When Barnabas attended a group of believers, they said, "Here comes the encourager." Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were to walk in here and we were so in tune with our spiritual gifts that people would call us by our gift? Hey, there's preacher. Hey, there's teacher. There's mercy giver. There's the encourager. How lovely is that gift? I think our church and any church would be so much better if people who had this gift would exercise it all the time. And you know what else I call this gift? I call this the gift of spiritual cheerleading. When I was playing water polo in high school and I was in the pool, yeah, believe it or not, water polo. I'm sure the cheerleaders were cheering, but I couldn't hear them very much because I was in the water thrashing, so I couldn't hear what they were saying. But when I was watching our basketball team inside of our gym, it was a different story altogether. I can remember at my high school, our cheerleaders had a certain cheer when someone on our team would go to the free throw line and shoot a free throw. We would walk up there and the cheerleaders would be over there going, "Sink it, sink it, come on." And whoever that was, "Sink it." And I'm sure the players appreciated that. They were encouraging them by what they cheered. Therefore, they wanted to do a better job. How many of us are cheering each other to be active in Bible study? Good job. Good for you. How many of you are encouraging each other to reach others for Christ? Bill, thank you for preaching to others in Christ. We need to be encouragers. Fifth, we need to be giving. We need to be generous and give cheerfully. In the NIV version, it is called the gift of contributing. Some of you will look at this gift and you will say, "What is that?" Some of you are looking at this gift right now and are saying, "Wait a minute, Pastor. Didn't you just say a while ago that not everybody has all the spiritual gifts?" That is true. However, you don't get off that easy. Did you know that many of the gifts are also general commands of God? For instance, going to look at the gift of mercy for a moment, okay? Everyone is to show mercy, but some have a special gift for it, right? Some people have a special gift of mercy, some don't. But that doesn't mean you don't exercise it. One of the spiritual gifts, according to 1 Corinthians 12, is the gift of faith. All of us had better exercise faith, but some just have a special gift for it. And that is true of giving. All of us are to give. 1 Corinthians 16, the Bible says, "On the first day of the week, every one of you should lay in store according to your income." That is for all of us, but some people have the special gift for this. Romans 12 says, "If you have the gift, just give generously, give cheerfully." What it means is sometimes people are just endowed by God to be able to do it in a supernatural way. You say, "Pastor, does that mean that some people that have this gift have been gifted financially so they can give great amount of money?" Sometimes, but not always. Sometimes people who live by modest means have this gift. The Bible says if you have this gift, be doing it. And I thank God for the people who not only give while they are alive, but they make preparations so when they die, through endowed giving, through their will, they continue to support the Lord's work. Continued support. That's important. Forget the financial part of it. Continued support. Even when I'm gone, that would be a blessing to know that even when I'm gone, the work of Christ can still be done in my absence and in your absence. That's what being spiritually gifted is about, is being able to harness that gift, but to also bring others to that gift. Help them see where God has placed them. 6, leadership, organizing and inspiring to accomplish God's work. It is also called the gift of administration in 1 Corinthians 12. Thank God for the people in the church throughout the ages that had the gift to recognize and be able to organize and inspire God's people to accomplish the goals and tasks set before them. In fact, the period of time we call the judges was probably the darkest in Israel's history because they didn't have any good spiritual leadership. It said everybody did what was right in their own eyes. How is that any different from today? How many people do things because it feels right to them? Oh, I'm not going to do ministry today because it just doesn't feel right today. I know that person walking down the street doesn't know Christ, but I'm sure someone else will come along and be that ambassador for Christ. When God has clearly given you the gift of discernment to know, you need to be exercising the gift he gave you. Thank God in every church there are people who are gifted to do these things. Not everybody can. Not everybody can. But as the body of Christ, we can work together to accomplish those things. And then finally, 7 is mercy. Seeing and helping hurting people. It says in Romans 12, if you have the gift of showing mercy, do it cheerfully. Everybody ought to show mercy, but there again, it is a special gift. Some people in the body of Christ aren't sensitive enough to see when somebody is hurting. But I know some of you are. I know because you've approached me when I'm hurting and didn't even think I was even showing it. But you recognized it and you ministered to me. So for that, I thank you. You see, one of the worst things in the Christian life is the belief that you have to do everything in the Christian life. You'll kill yourself if you try to do everything that the body of Christ is supposed to do. You don't have all the gifts. But one of the most liberating things in this Christian life is to realize that you may not have to teach. You may not have to preach. But it could be that God has given you the gift of service or the gift of mercy. And if you got it, exercise it, because there are a lot of others who don't have it and sometimes wish they had it. I wish I could sing. I wish I could play instruments. There's a lot of things I wish I could do. But I also know that God has gifted me in other areas. And so that I could do that and be thankful for that. Just like you need to be sitting there and thanking God for the gifts he's given you. To be thankful. And not only to be thankful, but to show your thanks by exercising those gifts. So, how can you unwrap your spiritual gifts? Let me give you a couple words of advice. You must believe that you are gifted. 1 Corinthians 12:11. All these gifts are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. That's very important. It is not your job to ask God for a gift. I mean, that contradicts the nature of a gift, but if someone gives you a gift and you say, that's not really what I want, kind of rude, isn't it? You don't go to God and say, God, I want this gift. He has already given you the gifts when you were born into the kingdom of God. And now it is your job to discover what gifts you have. You don't go back to God and say, God, I need some gifts now. Even in a newborn baby, there is the capacity to drive an automobile and fly an airplane. Did you know that? There is a capacity to do so. But those gifts and abilities have to be cultivated and discovered. The same is true of Christians. Now, there are a couple of ways you can determine your gifts, and I'm going to close with this. First, your personal inclination. What kind of ministry or spiritual service are you inclined toward? What do you enjoy doing? God is not going to gift you to do something that contradicts your personality, your passions, or your natural talents. Why do you think that the gift God has given you is going to make you miserable? Oh, I don't want to go teach the youth. Oh, let someone else do it. I don't want to be with the 3-year-olds today. God, let someone else do it. Some people have the gift. We need to help them recognize it. Be encouragers. Help them. And in turn, they help you. And in turn, the body of Christ is exalted. Some people have the gift of mercy, and they love going into nursing homes, hospitals, serving the Lord, and others just can't stand going into those places. And if you can't stand to go in those places, it's a good bet that God has not given you the gift of mercy. We need to do things and do what comes supernaturally. Have you ever heard the expression, do what comes naturally? When it comes to spiritual gifts, we need to do what comes supernaturally. It is not a natural talent. It is a supernatural capacity. Sometimes it boils down to trial and error. Trust me, if you are clueless, just try some of these. Try some of these gifts. How do you know unless you try? How do you know unless somebody has actually come face to face with you and said, Pastor Powell, you have the gift of teaching. And he might reply, oh, really? Who said that? We may know something that you don't. That's why this is great. This is why God is great. He uses others to reach others. He doesn't reach you to reach you all the time. He uses you. He gives you the gifts and the abilities to do these things. So why not follow suit and exercise it? What do you really have to lose? A couple hours on Sunday? An hour or two on Saturday morning to go tell somebody about Christ to save their soul? Is that not worth it to you? We need to exercise our gifts. Because I would like to hear somebody say, you know, you really ministered to me by what you had to say or what you did for me today. Because that is the way we know that God has blessed you with a spiritual gift. It comes back to us. Because God has this funny way of showing, hey, I'm with you. I'm going to help you with this. I may have gifted you with this, but that's not where it stops. I'm going to be with you to cultivate it. I'm going to be with you to make sure you're doing exactly what I've gifted you to do. Everybody in this room is gifted for some special ministry. And the way you function as a part of the body is to discover your job and then start doing it. But do it wholeheartedly. Do it more than you've ever done before. Do it and do it and do it. And when every member of the body of Christ called Winton First Baptist Church is doing their job, that's when this body rises up as the body of Christ in a healthy way and makes an impact on the world for Jesus Christ. But imagine how frustrating it must be for the Lord, who is the cerebral cortex of all of this, the nerve center, so to speak, trying to say, move. Move hand. Move arm. And individual Christians say, I can't do anything. Friend, you are gifted, and when the head speaks, you move. Stand together with me as we pray. And as David and these will come and play, I'm going to ask that if you're not understanding what your spiritual gifts are, if you've never considered it, one of the ways that you can discover these things is being around the body of Christ. Most of the time, others recognize things in you that you never knew about yourself. Get an accountability partner. Let them light a fire under you. And in turn, I know God's going to be there to bless it. Be mindful of these things. Let God be the driving force in your life, and let God be the driving force in exercising your spiritual gifts. And you'll be amazed what God can do with that. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that somebody in this room, number one, would be so curious about their spiritual gifts that they would not feel settled until they discover and start exercising that gift. And Lord, I pray that there are some people in this room who knew that they could do that, but they didn't really understand the full implications of having a spiritual gift. And now, Lord, I pray that you would free them up to do so, to do it heartily than they've ever done it before. And I want to pray for those who know they have a spiritual gift, but they're just sitting on it, Lord. They're not using it in the body. Lord, I pray that you would draw them to a place where they start serving you once again. And Lord, if there is somebody here today that is not in your family, I pray that you would just draw them to yourself today, and that the greatest desire of their heart will be for you. But that they would take you, Lord, and receive it to them. We lift this up in your holy and precious name. Amen.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.